Thank you very much, Pastor King, for your introduction. Just want to recognize the presence of the directors from the conference here this morning and other workers. I want to give God thanks for all the members and visitors who are here. And of course, we are here to praise the Lord.
Am I right, brethren?
We are here to what? Praise the Lord. And we're going to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. For our God,
who's God?
Our God is worthy to be praised. And when we come together, we must show to the world that we are happy in Jesus. For Jesus is all the world to me. I give God thanks for the opportunity of coming here this morning. 35 years ago, I did my internship with Pastor Reuben Douglas, the father-in-law of Dr. Rutherford. We talked a lot. And so often, Pastor Douglas would express his desire to be the pastor of Andrew's Church. And then I followed suit. He did not get the opportunity to do so. I am still alive. I don't know what the future has in store. But I am glad I can be here this morning to proclaim the word. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Loving Lord, thank you for grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. We have come together today to celebrate, for you have done great things for us. Please, Lord, tabernacle with us, and may we feel the nearness of your presence. Bless now this waiting congregation. Speak to me so that I can speak to your people. For Jesus' sake we pray. Today is a great day throughout Inter-American Division. We are celebrating Pentecost and more. And hundreds of thousands will be baptized today. And we say, to God be the glory for the grand. On my way here this morning, an old Advent song came to mind. It is almost time for the Lord to come. And I pondered the words of the song. And then I said to myself, Devon Osborne, are you ready for Jesus to come? Because it's important, brothers and sisters, for us to take stock of ourselves. All of us, preachers too, must take stock of themselves. Because not every preacher is a Christian. It It's not so much the profession, but my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I ask myself the question, Devon, are you ready for Jesus to come? I have been in the church for years. I have served in many capacities. And now the Lord has asked me to lead in the conference. But that will not make me a Christian. Your position in the church will not make you a Christian. Everything depends on your relationship with God. And so, we are looking at revival. We are looking at renewal. We are looking at reformation. What do you ask? And I am going to be speaking under the caption, regeneration. It has to do with revival. Reformation comes from a Latin word to create again. And I am praying that at the end of this day, all of us will see the need for a closer walk with Jesus. That's what we need. We need to be recreated. We need to be like Jesus. And I'm still contemplating the song, "'Tis almost time for the Lord to come." Planet Earth has become a very dangerous territory. Listening to the news yesterday evening on CNN, they have raised the danger sign to 5. And it was discovered in California. Poisonous gas. And what kind of a poisonous gas? My brothers and sisters, it is the kind that can wipe out humanity. But let me tell you, God is still in control. In California, what is happening in Japan is now affecting the United States. And the danger sign has been raised. Not 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, but 5. And 7 is the maximum. But don't worry about tomorrow. For God will take care of tomorrow. But for now, we are looking at regeneration. And I must point out this morning that millions of so-called Christians live just like worldlings. For us to experience real Pentecost, revival, renewal, and reformation, the heart must be changed. And what we need more than anything is a heart transplant. Many Christians, their lifestyles are no different from the unsaved. We read filthy books, watch dirty movies, and are carried away by the works of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. But let me say to God's church, there must be a line of demarcation between the church and the world. And by the way, the church is gradually losing her identity. Are you listening to me? I am here today to speak the truth, the whole truth, and what? So help me God. I went to a funeral some weeks ago. I reported to the conference that I didn't like what was happening at the church. I didn't know whether or not it was a Pocomania church or an Adventist church. The Seventh-day Adventist church is a distinct church. And we must maintain our identity. We may not be the most popular church, but this is the church of the living God. And by the way, fame is vapor. Popularity is accident. And riches makes itself wings and fly away. As a church, and I just want to appeal to those who are not so old, by the grace of Jesus Christ, let us maintain our identity. We are losing it. And every kind of music coming in, even a mild form of reggae, we don't need it in the church. What we need is a closer walk with the man Christ Jesus. And when we are in touch with Jesus, he will teach us how to behave. Amen, brethren. Today is our happy day, you know. So we must feel happy in the Lord. And if you feel like saying amen, say it without reservation. And if you feel like praising the Lord, praise the Lord, because the Lord is worthy to be praised, man. We have something to praise God for. We have something to praise God for. And we must praise him. The regenerate Christian who has a real concern about the sin of his or her life soon realize, my friends, that Jesus is still the answer. Who is the answer? Jesus is the answer. And by the way, there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. We can put him to the test, man. Still the answer. Conversely, the Christian who has no concern about sin doesn't often think of Jesus as the exalted and the holy and the sanctifying one. When the child of God begins to realize the tyranny of sin and to get concerned about it, he doesn't have a high regard for man. But listen, having recognized man's brokenness and depravity under the weight of iniquity, and at the same time, we see increasingly How loving. How wonderful. And how caring Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God. Had it not been for His grace and mercy, we would have all been consumed. Thank God for grace. As leaders of the church, we are celebrating Pentecost, Pastor Carr. As leaders of the church, we exalt Jesus Christ in the service. And we instruct worshipers, all God's children, to exalt Jesus Christ in their lives. It is not I, but Christ be honored, love exalted. And by the way, when we come to church, we don't come to exalt self, but to lift up Jesus. And the Jesus we must lift up. Sometimes even as preachers, Pastor Thomas, we can get carried away and believe that it is high. It is not high, but Jesus Christ and Christ alone. As we contemplate regeneration, let me say this morning that all of life's problems take place on a proper perspective when Jesus Christ is at the center. Don't lose sight of that. And brothers and sisters, the larger the problem, the more we must realize that God is sufficient to deal with it. Some of us this morning, we might be carrying burdens that we don't know that we can bear. How longer we can bear our burdens. But let me remind you that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Some of us are in church. We didn't even feel like coming this morning. But we are here to praise the Lord. Our burdens are many. Some people wouldn't understand what we are experiencing, what we are going through. Only Jesus Christ knows. Sometimes the problems at home more than what we can bear. Problems with the husband. Problems with the wife, Dr. Stern. Problem with the children. But listen to me, Jesus Christ is able to take care of you. Sometimes ill health. We have been to the best physicians in town. But the problems are still there. But thank God there is a physician in Israel. And when we call on Him, He will hear and He will answer us. And He's not only a physician, He's the great sympathizing Jesus. And we can rely on Him. He will always keep His appointments. There are churches that are practicing man-centered worship. They begin with man and his needs, desires, and problems. But let me tell you something. For regeneration to take place, worship must begin with God. And when we begin with God, everything else will be put in proper perspective. Preachers and churches need to know this. The different attitudes towards worship effectively illustrate the difference between the view of the unregenerate heart and the child of God. As a child of God, you must see that you have been redeemed. from hopelessness. Once I was a sinner, but I came pardoned to receive from my Lord. And brothers and sisters, as we come together to celebrate, we have a lot to celebrate for. We give God thanks for the church, but we give God thanks for our own lives, knowing where God has taken us from and where we are. We say hallelujah to the cross. We serve a mighty God. Some of us were hopeless, not knowing where to turn. But Jesus Christ came to our rescue. We were in lost condition. And the only way he could be redeemed, you could be redeemed, is through regeneration or the new birth. Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's gospel could hardly be blamed for his confusion as he talked with Jesus. Nicodemus was not prepared for the turn of events as he talked with Christ. He had come to Jesus by night just to pay Jesus a compliment. And perhaps out of curiosity, but God has a way of turning curiosity into reality. Oh, what a mighty God we serve, he said, Rabbi. We know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no man could perform these miracles. Read it in John chapter 3. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, unless a man be born again, you cannot begin to understand the things of God. You know, it will not take long for people to find out who you are, you know. It didn't take Nicodemus a long time to recognize something special about Jesus. People will know if you're a Christian and they will know if you're a hypocrite. You're hearing me, brethren? It will not take long for people to know who you are, because by their fruits you shall know them. This is Bible. But there was something special about Jesus. And let me say to members of the church, as we look at regeneration, your life must make a difference in the church and in the community. But is there anything different about you in your community, in your home? Is there anything different? Nicodemus was baffled. Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Nicodemus was more interested in physical things, but Jesus was interested in the spiritual. And let me say, brothers and sisters, material prosperity might be good, but make sure that your soul is right with Jesus. It was Billy Graham who said, things minus God equal misery. Things minus God equal misery. No matter what you have, unless you have Jesus, you don't have anything. Captain Bakery used to say, when you have Captain Bakery, you have the world. But when you have Jesus, you have the world. I read an article during the course of the week, prominent preacher, claiming that it was not God's hand that wrote the Ten Commandments. Did you see it?
preacher.
Not God's hands. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. The psalmist in Psalm 51 and verse 5. The psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The sinful mind cannot understand the things of God. You know, some of us, we are not thankful to for the church as we are to, you know. But the Seventh-day Adventist church is God's church. It is the greatest church. And I thank God the day when I link my eternal destiny with this church. I know that the church is not perfect. I know that sometimes we can be very hypocritical. I know that sometimes we can be very unreasonable. But this church is still the church of God. I know that even in the church sometimes we experience injustice, unkindness. Sometimes we are not as caring as we ought to. But brothers and sisters, don't leave the church because this is the church of God. It's almost time for the Lord to come. I hear the people say, the stars of heaven are growing dim. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. I may not be the greatest preacher or the greatest teacher. I may not be a great philosopher. I may be as poor as a church mouse. But I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to make him Lord and master of my life, so that when everything is over, I can look up and say, this is my God. I have waited for him, and he will save me. My goal is to be saved. Comes what may, I am determined. I am willing to press the battle to the gate. The gates of hell will not prevail against me, because I have linked my eternal destiny to the church of the living God. I will not look back. I will not turn back, for Jesus is all the world to me. Is he all the world to you? Is he really all the world to you? And do you want to be ready when Jesus comes? I want to be ready. If it is your desire to be ready when Jesus comes, stand with me. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Sometimes we can be in the church, but we are not as close to the Lord as we would like to, you know. The problems and the challenges are there. But remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I am thine, O Lord.